Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I just want to finish up the last point at Gilgal. So if you turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. We talked about on Wednesday, the manna ceased. As soon as they ate the old corn of the land. And verse 13 says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us? Or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay. But as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lords of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. I like this last little bit. And Joshua did so. I know a lot of times, I've probably even said it myself in the past, I often questioned it, but I've heard many times it said, are you for us or against us? And I know a lot of translations or different versions will say neither, but the word really means not. And what he really, the more and more I look at it, the more and more I think about it this way, because he was basically really, he wasn't, you know, a lot of folks would say, neither, I'm not for you and I'm not against you, but that really wasn't the case. If you really think about it, he said he was the captain of the Lord of hosts. And the Lord of hosts at this particular moment in time was Israel on a journey, right, to come into the promised land. And so I think neither is probably not a great translation. I understand the thought. But just the very aspect of Joshua understanding that, hey, he was for him and not against him by calling himself the captain of the host. And so immediately Joshua, knowing that the Lord had chosen him to replace Moses, understood at that particular moment, hey, this is a picture of God in flesh. Yeah. And that there's somebody higher than me. And so he yielded to that place. And I like the fact, you know, it's the same thought that he gave Moses. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. This is going to be a walk of God. Amen. So that closes out Gilgal. Everybody remember what took place at Gilgal? What was the first thing? Memorials, which is a picture of what? A walk of faith, right? A faith towards God. Isn't that what was necessary? The next step was circumcision, water baptism, right? Circumcision, cutting away the flesh, right? Baptized in Jesus' name. There's only one baptism, no matter what anybody tells you. All right? Also, the third thing was they rolled away, or God rolled away. That was the rolling away of the world, Egypt, right? Circumcision cut away the old so you could become a new creation, right? Circumcision did all that. They couldn't enter the land unless they were circumcised. That's a newsflash for most of Christianity. You can call yourself a Christian all you want. If you've not been circumcised in water baptism, you are not in Christ. Take it up with the author. Amen. Then they celebrated, or they cut the covenant of Passover. Remember, Passover, they also, it was the new and the old Passover, right? So it also is a picture of the first fruit, bringing of the tithe. So you must participate in that, not according to what you think it should be, but according to what God says it is. All right. The manna ceased. Time to change your diet. The what you eat. You know, we have a saying in the world, you are what you eat, right? Yeah. And so it goes the same spiritually speaking. I find it interesting personally that in humanity, the older you get, the less sugar you can have because you can get sugar diabetes. Now, I know we can get real religious and think all this stuff, but watch this. What God's really trying to show us is the more mature we are, our diet has to really change. Okay? And not everything's about the sweet life. Yeah. It's about God life. For most of us, as long as we're having a good time, having fun, doing what we want, a good man's life, it's, and then we drape it in religion and call it God life, right? Okay, so we must change the diet. And then we just found out that, listen, God is in charge. And even though this isn't part of Gilgal, what we find out here is what takes place is God gives Joshua supernatural instructions in how to defeat the enemy. How to be victorious. Are you with me? This picture of Gilgal, or this place Gilgal, is a picture of our initial salvation. Things that must take place in our lives. We can preach it at Gilgal, we can go to many different places, and we can preach and teach the same exact principles that are necessary. Everybody say this with me. Gilgal is just the first step. Most of Christianity are happy with all of that. That's why we spend all of our time trying to save the unbeliever. Are you saying we shouldn't do that? Open your ears. God has declared for you and I to not lay the foundation again, but to do what? Let us go on to perfection. Amen? Everybody say this with me. It's time to grow up. Time to grow up. Okay, so turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. Second Kings, chapter 2. I'll read the whole verse, but I want to spend primarily most of my time dealing with the first part of the verse. Well, maybe not. There's a lot here, so we'll see how it goes. I've been looking at this for a long time, and my biggest problem sometimes is I get way ahead of myself, and I expect to share way more than I do, but I never get that far, and I guess it's the way it is. In one context is I'm not in a hurry. You know, you don't build a kingdom overnight. Don't finish a job too soon. Because the truth of the matter is God wants the job done right and correct. Okay? And I think that, you know, with some turn of events and, you know, the Proverbs today, it really, you know, I love saying this because I couldn't fit things in the way they do, at least for me. Timing. There's appointed time. God has appointed moments, and I absolutely love it. So we see that, well, I'll read verse 1 just to continue. And, You know, because we're not going to eat right away today. We can stay as long as we want. Are you with me? Oh, that was not a lot of amens there. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. I mentioned this, I believe, Wednesday night, and I'll mention it again. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would be ready to be taken up in a whirlwind? Or how about what it says in Revelation chapter 12? And a man-child is caught up unto who? God and his throne. Guess what happens when that takes place? Has anybody ever seen a natural death? Everything's cut off, right? You don't own anything anymore. You've been separated from this life. Well, being caught up to God and his throne is the exact same thing. Oh, how can you say that? See, the only reason we have a different concept is because of religion. Pentecostalism. Let's do everything. But see, we have to understand the context and the concept of what God is really doing. Where's Enoch? Where's Elijah? Oh, wait, where's the Master? Where's the saints that he rose from the dead? Where's Paul? Peter? All the heroes of faith. See, the truth of the matter is we find out how selfish and how self-centered we really are, and we want to just stick here and let's do something for God when God's never really ever asked us to do anything except to obey his voice. So we see here, let us go on to the whirlwind, right? Being caught up to come to fullness, maturity. Is it not so? Maturity or eternal life isn't just a good existence doing what I'm doing. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Now, some say, I don't know if this is a fact or not, but I kind of found it interesting when I did hear this, is, you know, we know that they went to Gilgal, we know they went to Bethel, we know they went to Jericho, and then they went to Jordan, right? And somebody had mentioned, and I thought it was pretty funny, because this is what a lot of people like to do, is he had a farewell tour, and he was telling all of, because he had schools there, Sons of Prophets, and he was telling them all. Because, and if we don't think so, watch. A little further down, I think the next step at Bethel, they said, hey, they knew that he was going up also. All right? But he said, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Why would Elijah tell Elisha to stay put? A test. Elijah was testing the young prophet to really see what he was made of. Oh, I'll never leave you. You know how many people that came to this church said that? It doesn't really matter what the test is. It's the result of the character. Well, you drove him away. No, you don't understand. Do you think Elijah was always nice? I guarantee not. I guarantee not. But he only had one purpose, and that was to come to fullness. Let us go on. You see, we rather promote emotionalism than true Christianity. Now, I know it's quiet, but God's trying to get us to understand. He wants a people. This is why we like music. I have a question for you. Would God rather us praise him with music or our character? I find it interesting, in the Bible, you hear very little of music. We see the word praise and we immediately think music. We hear the word worship and we think music. Joshua took his shoes off his feet. And oh, by the way, never said a word. Kept his mouth shut. Because that's true worship. It means to do what? Bend the knee. Yield. Subject to. But he tested Elisha to see what he was made of. Just like God tested Elijah to see what he was made of. Right? Watch this. If the Father tested the Son, even in bearing the cross, to express the character of an invisible God, what will he do for his own children? He will test them, train them, to build the what? Character in them that they will absolutely only follow the Father's voice. This is why Jesus said this. Watch this. Watch this. This is what Jesus said. My sheep know my voice. Watch what Paul said. There's many voices in the land that sound like the Master's voice. Yeah. Okay, so Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. So they went to the next place, didn't they? Tarry. The word tarry here means, it literally means to sit down, dwell, remain, abide. He also requested this. You know, he did this also in verse 4 after they were at Bethel. And I'll just mention that right now and we'll read it again. But he was putting him to the test. And what do you think he was testing? His character, right? His faith and determination. Are you really determined? Are you really determined? Faith and determination. See, we have this idea. And you think about where it comes from, right? We're saved by grace, right? And not works, right? Works of the flesh. But that is the Gilgal, or the initial concept, that some folks want to carry all the way into the innermost holy place. But the balance to that is, what did James say? Faith without works is dead. And if we go to the book of Revelation, it's all about the first to the churches. It's all about being a what? Overcomer. And the writer to the Hebrews said, those that diligently seek him will what? Get a reward. Oh, wait. It's kind of interesting. Sherry and I were talking about this the other day. She said she'd never heard the word before, but it's been around for a long time. It's called meritocracy. How many know? You know what it means? Merit. You know it. You've heard it, right? Meritocracy. You advance based on what? Merit. The fortunate thing is we've done that in society, and so it's also, if you have bad character, it'll breed bad behavior, won't it? But if you have good character, it can't help but, and oh, by the way, promotion comes from what? The Lord, or the ascension. Not talking about another level. I'm a 6th level, now I'm a 7th level, or I'm an 8th level, or I'm an unclassified, at your work. No, another level of character based upon your faith and determination, right? All right, turn with me. I'm just going to read Bible. I'll let the Bible talk to you. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. I'd like to read. I'll switch over to. I've been reading the Living Bible for, you know, and I go off and on, and every time I go back to it, I just love it. So Ruth chapter 1. And for the sake of time, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to get rolling. And you know the story. Ruth and her family, they went down to Moab. Everybody died. Her two sons had married while they were there. So she found out that there was... Okay, verse 6. Verse 5 says everybody's dead. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws, verse 6, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. They're on a journey, weren't they? They're on a journey, just like Elijah and Elisha. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go. Go, return each to her mother's house. Go back to your own church. Right? The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee, or with you, unto your people. I'll go with you. You see this? Just like Elisha, right? To Elijah. I'll go with you. And Naomi, testing them, right? Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I'll have hope, I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons. Would you wait for them? Go, right? And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I have a question for you. Why would Elijah, why would Naomi? And I have several more examples, actually, to read. I'm just reading Bible, but I'll ask questions. Why would they test them for their character and faith and determination? Anybody have an answer? I'll tell you why. Because in the kingdom of God, there can only be one kind of character. The only place God opens the gate really wide is in the outer court. But from there on in, it's training to go all the way in or unto perfection of the most holy place. Are you with me? Do you want a kingdom your way or do you want a kingdom his way? Are you with me? Verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law, this is Naomi talking, is gone back unto her people. How many people go back to their own people or their own ways? Oh, yeah. By the way, let me tell you what people she went back to. Adam. Adam's way of thinking. Even if it's draped in religion, because watch this, she went back to her mother's house. To do what? To serve her mother's gods. All right? Do you see
This is why Jesus said, beware of false Christs. Remember what my interpretation of that is? False Christians. It looks and sounds good, but the question really is, and we'll get there. Watch this. Here we go. Watch this. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods, or her way of serving. This is why you can go to any church you want, right? It's freedom. Go right ahead. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not, don't test me, to leave thee, or to return from following after you. For where you go, I'm going. See, we sing a Pentecostal song that says, wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever you do, I'll do. Whatever you say, I'll say. And I'll guarantee you, the majority of folks that sing that song has nothing of the perfection or completion that God is after in mind. They have it after the healing Jesus, the miracle Jesus. Let me be just like him. And I'll go into any place, anywhere you want and say. But that's not what he's after. Are you with me? Where you live, I'll live. Watch this. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I'll bury. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught put death part thee unto me. And watch this. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded or like-minded to go with her, she was determined, wasn't she? You can treat me any way you want, Ruth, Elijah, Jesus. But I'm following. All right. Then she left speaking unto her. All right. Turn with me now to 2 Samuel chapter 15. I think I'm going to read this. Nah, we'll read it in the King James. I'll just do it for sake of time. I have to get moving, though. Now, you know the story of 2 15, chapter 2 of Samuel, chapter 15. It's about, you know the story about Absalom. I'm tongue-tied here. Absalom, right? What did Absalom? He looked great. He looked gorgeous. His hair was nice. Everything was beautiful about him, but he had a heart to do what? Usurp authority and overtake his father's kingdom. Because he thought he was in charge. All right? It's an Absalom spirit. Okay? Couldn't tell him what to do. He knew everything. All right? And so what was David doing? David was getting out of town because he knew that Absalom was coming to destroy with the sword, right? And verse 15, and the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Well, I don't know if I want to do what he's doing. Maybe I'll stick it out and fight. No, they said, I want to do what you want to do, king. Obviously, God put David in charge. So he said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And they said, yes, sir. All right? And the king went forth, and all the household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was afar off. And all the servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Now, isn't that interesting? Do you remember the story when he was at Gath? Remember he had to fake that he was going crazy so he could get out of there and save his life? Anybody remember? What's Gath? What's important about Gath? It's where Goliath came from. It's a place of the Philistines. And there were 600 people there that said, look, we'd rather go where David's going, a crazy man, than stay here
rolling around in the dust, the carnal mind. Are you with me?
Now watch what David says. Then said the king, David, to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Or why are you coming with us? Return to your place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and you're also in exile. Wherefore thou camest, but yes, it seems like you just showed up here. Why would you attach yourself to me and go with me, right? Should I this day make thee go down or go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return now and take back thy brethren, or all the people that are with you, take your church back, and let mercy and truth be with you. And now watch what he says. And Hittite answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth. Boy, this sounds like a broken record this morning. But you know what's interesting about Ruth and Ittai? We'll get to it because Jesus said it. They were not blood relatives. And they were more willing than their own blood relatives. Watch this. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whither in death or life, even there also will your servant be. Now watch what David said. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over, be an overcomer. And Ittai the Gittite passed over with all his men and all the little ones that were with him. I have some verses. I'm just going to read them. You ready? You don't have to turn to them. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity or for a time of trouble. They'll stick it out. That's a true brother. When times get tough, they won't tarry. They won't return. They won't go back. They will stick it out until God gets what he wants. This is what Elijah was saying to Elisha. If you want a double portion or a portion of the firstborn, oh, hallelujah, you're going to have to stick it out no matter what the test is, no matter how bad it is, because there's going to be a door of opportunity to leave every single time. Every time. Are you with me? A brother is born for the day of adversity, for a day of trouble. Proverbs 18, a man that has many friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Okay, so turn with me now to, let's see, where do I want to go? I'm trying to. All right. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. I don't want to lose track of what we're talking about here. And can I say this? Watch this. Everybody listen to me. If we cannot accomplish, fulfill Gilgal or our stay at Gilgal, we will never go on. We will tarry and stay put. If any one of those characteristics in our youth are not fulfilled, if we're tight with our money, we won't give to the Lord the first fruit, we won't get circumcised, We don't have faith in going on. We won't celebrate the feast. We won't worship God the way He wants, holy ground. See, there's one of the problems we have about emotionalism in the church. We get all excited, sing songs, feel free, but we're not clean. There is a generation that's what? Right in their own eyes, and they've not been washed from their what? Filthiness. Yeah. Yeah. And if we think that He's not talking about us when those kind of verses, He's always pointing to the end, isn't He? Always. This is why He's always saying, come. Come higher. Come. Go on. And there's always tests to return. Stay put. Woe to those that are at ease in Zion. Isn't that what it says? All right, Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. And there were great multitudes with Him, and He turned, and He said unto them, if any man come to Me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Should we read this last part? He cannot be My disciple. That's a pretty tough thing, isn't it? And the reason it's tough on us is because we cannot comprehend the depths of the spiritual aspects of what God's trying to say to us in this moment. Watch. What would have happened if Elijah would have said, because everybody knew the Lord was taking Elijah up, right? But what if Elijah said, Lord, what about my wife, and what about my children, or what about my mom and daddy, or how about when He threw His mantle on Elisha when he was plowing in the field, and he said, no, I can't do this. I don't want to do it your way. I got to take care of my children. I got to take care of my spouse. I need to take care of my parents. I need to. It's the test of the character, the faith and determination of what's going to come out. It's subtle, right? How come Ruth got tested by Naomi and Orpah? Because God knew that Ruth was going to be in the lineage of King David, who later on would test the Gittites, which also kept to his own character even when his son was in rebellion. Which is a good message for a lot of Christian folks. Oh, I'm a son. David had lots of sons. So does Jesus. Nothing wrong with the son, except for character. The position was right. The character was wrong. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Why are you telling us this? Can't you preach me something a lot happier? Let me tell you. God wants to change the whole creation. And He wants to do it through a man. But it has to be a man with the nature of God that has the character to express the invisible God. It took more power to stay on the cross. Are you with me? Than it did to come down. All right. Oh.
John chapter 6. John 6. You know, we have a lot of mentors, teachers, and we filled the heads of Christians with a lot of information. But you know what Paul wrote? You have 10,000 boy teachers, mentors, and not many what? Fathers. Fathers. And the reason God wants fathers, which is so ironic because we have the exact opposite spirit in the globe today. It didn't just happen overnight. It's been going on for a long time. And the reason for it is this. It's to usurp authority in the house of God. It's a Jezebel spirit. And the reason for it is God's putting us to the test to see if we will take sides. When all he's really trying to do is build the character. See, the nature, you get that when you're born again. But it's the character that must be developed or formed till Christ be what? Fully formed in you. Isn't that what Paul wrote? He says, I travail in birth till Christ is what? Formed. Shaped. Character. And can I say this? Watch this. I said it the other night and I've said it a zillion times. Most of our problem is we compare ourselves against ourselves. And we've really lost the sight of what the standard is. Watch. You can have children that are really good. I mean, they can go on to lead a very successful social life and miss the very essence of the life that God has called them to. And never fulfill the assignments. They may never go to jail. They may never get worldly. They may never do any of those kind of things. But our standard isn't the world. Our standard is Christ. What? I heard her say Pepe. She's giving me an amen. Are you with me? John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus was around verse 56. John 6, 56. 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna. Time to change the diet, right? And they're what? Dead. And he that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the church, right? Taught in Capernaum. And many therefore of his disciples, when he heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now I've heard the preachers preach that a lot of folks couldn't handle this because he was dealing with cannibalism. Has nothing to do with that.
They fully understood and knew what kind of life he was living. And to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they understood that meant I must take up my cross and follow him. Man, I have to live a life like him? I have to live a life like Jesus? It's a little more than a bracelet of what would Jesus do. It's a little more than just quoting a verse. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? And what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Will that bother you also?" It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. See, he was showing them right there. It had nothing to do with natural eating of his flesh and drinking his blood. But there are some of you that believe not. I wonder what they didn't believe. Probably didn't believe the preacher. The teacher. Oh, that was Jesus. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Now watch this. From that time. See, we thought he was talking about the 12. No, he wasn't talking about the 12 only, was he? From that time, many of his, we use the word disciple here, but it really is children or students. Same concept. Elisha, Ruth, Ittai, right? From that time on, many of his disciples went back. What did they go back to? Their previous way of thinking when it came to religion. Look, God's trying to get you and I to go on from Gilgal. I'll get ahead of the game here. He's trying to get us to go on from Bethel. He's trying to get us to go on from Jericho. He's trying to get us to cross the Jordan. Watch this. He's trying to get you and I to fulfill the word where it says Christ dieth no more. Yeah. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I have a question for you. How come they weren't walking with him anymore? Watch this. Because Elijah is not at Gilgal anymore, he's gone on. Let us go on to perfection. Well, are you trying to tell me that there's not a Gilgal experience? Only for an unbeliever. Oh, yeah. This is why people can get born again every day. But for somebody that's been born again and they've come into that manner of life at Gilgal, their next step, look, you train babies to get out of diapers. You want them to stay in diapers all their life? Look, I know you may complain if you have to go buy them new shoes and new clothes all the time, but let me tell you, you'd be complaining more if you didn't because they never grew. But God is saying, it's time to go on. There's no going back. And the reason is because he's not back there for the ones that he's trying to get to grow up. We can't rely on the past. We have to move forward. And it's not religion, emotional religion. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you go away also?" And Simon Peter answered, said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Where would we go? You have the words of life. And we believe
And we believe and are sure. Are you sure this morning? That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you has a devil? He spoke about Judas. Now, if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 20, and I would like to read it out of the Living Bible. So, what are you talking about this morning, preacher? We must grow up. We must go on. We must have God build the character of Christ to maturity in our lives. I thank God every day for Gilgal. How about you? I thank God that He tests us to see if we'll stay put. Change our position. Do what other folks want. Unless you hate. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Are you ready? Here we go. Wine gives false courage. When I think of wine, I think of Pentecostalism, effervescence, spirit realm. All I want to do is have fun, the joy of the Lord. Are you with me? And hard liquor leads to brawls. It's a place of religion, even a good message of kingdom. Strong meat, right? Hard liquor. What fools men are to let it master them or keep them right where they're at. Making them reel drunkardly down the path or the street. Are you all right? The king's fury is like that of a roaring lion. To rouse his anger is to risk your life. How is it that Saul could do not even things that David did? Now, Saul was a murderer, wasn't he? Oh, wait, David killed someone too. You never know when the king has said, you've leaned too far. It's an honor for a man to stay out of a fight. Only fools insist on quarreling. And the interesting thing about this, watch, we're dealing with a king who God sets in charge. And so what comes from the quarreling aspect is folks who refuse to be subject. Now watch this. If you won't plow or prepare, you in the cold, you won't eat the harvest. Though good advice lies deep within a counselor's heart, the wise men, only the wise will draw it out. Most people will tell you what loyal friends they are. I like this. But are they really telling the truth? How do you find out? How do you know? Oh wait, Elisha said, I'm sticking with you. Ruth said, I'm cleaving to you. You know what's interesting? Even Ittai, whatever how you say his name, he even said the same thing. All three of them said the same. I'll even die for you. Isn't that what Jesus said when he said, pick up your cross? He said, unless you bear the cross, you cannot be my what? Disciple. A lot of folks like to hang around the cross. Have a lot of good messages about hanging around.
Now watch this. It is a wonderful heritage to have an honest father. Watch this. A king sitting as a judge, I like that, weighs all the evidence carefully, distinguishing the true from the false. What's he judging? He's testing. What did he say to Ruth? What did he say to Elisha? What did he say to Ittai? Are you with me? Who can ever say, I have cleansed my heart, I am sinless? The Lord despises every kind of cheating. Now, why would he just throw that in there like that? Because a lot of folks like to cheat and say they're a great friend and loyal. And then, when the times get tough, what happens? When they're tested, they do what? See, we're going to find that out when we get to Bethel, that when he tested them there to tell them to stay there, that even the sons of the prophets that were there wouldn't go with them. It says they stood afar off. Now, here's my verse I really wanted to get to. The character of even a child can be known by the way he acts, whether what he does is pure and right. If you have good eyesight and good hearing, thank God who gave them to you. And here's where I'm going to end. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Watch this. Stay awake, work hard, and there will be plenty to eat. Now, those are just symbols, pictures. Now, I started talking about this last night a little bit, and I couldn't believe how much this was falling right into what I wanted to share this morning about tarry here, sit down, remain, don't go on, a test. And then he showed all this to build character, because a child is known by his character, right? And whether what he does is pure and right. And God hates cheating. He despises it. He doesn't want us to fall asleep. He wants us to wake up so that we'll do what? He wants us to prepare in the cold so that we won't starve in the harvest. Now, I mentioned this last night. I read this article. And I really, you know, it just kind of, even some of it still came together when I was back there singing. And it has to do with the royal wedding. How many know God's after a royal wedding? I can relabel it and call it a harvest. It's all the same thing, but he's after a royal wedding. He's after a royal wedding. And in this article, they had some really key, interesting things, and it had to do with about the 10 children that were in the wedding party. And you might not think that it's a big deal and it matters, but it really does, because God is after children, his children, to grow up in their character, Christ, so that they can attend, be a part of his royal wedding. Are you with me? He has an assignment for them. But the interesting thing about it was they asked this question. How did you get 10 children to behave in church for an hour? And I'm not saying anything. I'm talking about this is bigger than just this moment. Are you with me? It's about the character of whether we will stay or whether we will go on. Whether we will remain where we're at. By the way, If we remain where we're at, what's going to happen to all of us? We're going to die. All going in the ground. Now watch this. The 10 children made up of several of the royal couple's godchildren, friends' children, managed to accompany Meghan down the aisle and sit through the near hour-long ceremony without an incident. Oh, by the way, Prince George was 4 years old and Prince Charlotte was 3. Just saying, all right? Now you might think, and you can think all you want, that I'm saying this because we get noisy with kids. Uh-uh. I'm talking about the noise in our own lives and the character that does not represent Christ. Yes, Lord. Remember, your biggest test will be if you can hear His voice come out of my mouth. Are you with me? They sat through the ceremony without an incident. Not as much as a candy wrapper was heard. No program dropped where millions of people watched. Etiquette training for the royals starts as soon as they're old enough to sit at a table. They're raised having formal meals, going to formal events, and practicing everything from the voice levels to dressing appropriately to even, of course, how to curtsy and bow. The children in the wedding would have had been very well prepared through rehearsals and even learned wedding behavior, specific behavior and protocol. These things come off flawlessly in their behavior is the result of practice, practice, practice. I like to change that word to preparation, preparation, preparation. Because if we don't prepare in the cold, plow, we'll never eat in the harvest. Now you might say, well, that's for royals. Wait a minute. We run around saying all the time, we're kings and priests, or a royal priesthood. And our King Father, who is honest, right? Who sits as a judge, he judges the character in our lives. And he despises when we cheat him. Well, I don't care about this stuff. It doesn't mean anything to me. Jesus loves me, and that's all that counts. I say it all the time. It's not a matter of whether Jesus loves me. His love never stops. But we have this idea that God parents or rules like we do, humans, and He does not. He doesn't. And if we really understand the royalty of the true King and His expectation in our behavior, it takes practice or preparation to go on to maturity or completion. We have a mindset that says train a child in the way he should go, and when they're old they won't depart. But then yet you go down a few verses and it says spare not the rod, beat your child, you won't kill him, and we won't fulfill the full word. We'll pick and choose. We'll cheat God in His instructions or His directions. Are you saying I should beat my children? You're missing it. The word of the Lord to this particular church has been from the beginning. Even if you all don't remember, I always remind you, prepare, prepare, prepare. For what? The purpose. But if we never practice, 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 we'll never be prepared. Can you imagine a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old? I can't.
I didn't do that well with my kids. And it shows sometimes. Well, they're royals. They have a lot of help. So do we. And oh, by the way, the people they pick have the character that the royals expect to be put in their children to help. Oh, yeah. Why are you saying all this? Because God wants us to grow up. He wants us to go on because He sees the end. He already knows. It's no big deal that God chose us. We just got done reading. He chose all 12 disciples, and one of them was for an example. He knew it. And the worst thing that you and I can do is never prepare to fulfill our assignment, to bring out the character, the expression, watch this, the manifestation that the creation is groaning for. Are you with me? There's a reason why God has us in tiers or levels, subject. The Bible says be subject to one another. It's so that we can prepare for purpose, what He's really after. Watch this. To really be kings and priests, what? Before our God. It's one thing to have the title, the label, because we have understanding. But it's a whole nother thing to have the character to carry it out. And I'm telling you, the training for the 3 and the 4-year-old and whatever, how old those kids were, didn't stop there. You know what one of the biggest lies is? Well, they're too young, they don't understand. Obviously, royals don't think that way. Because when John the Baptist can leap in a womb, yeah, then that tells me we're trying to train by carnal existence and not spiritual. And we always, you know, we always can find out what the character is. I go to the North End and they have a sign on their billboard and it's been there for years. Train a child while they're young because it's hard to what? Fix an adult. And watch this. Can I say this? Our measurement isn't ourselves or the world. Our standard is Christ. Elisha, stay here. Be content and satisfied with an experience you've had at Gilgal. Stay right here and enjoy the blessings of God. Don't we understand that Ahab, God blessed his socks off of him. He was industrious. He was successful in everything. He built cities. He made everybody happy, just about. But he was the most wicked, evil king that Israel ever had. Because most folks judged on the outside, never understanding the spiritual aspect of the character that God was looking for. Watch this, in a king, in a royal priesthood. How many are glad that they're the king's kids? Well, it takes training and preparation to be ready for the purpose that God is really after. He's not after any other thing. No other thing. Because if you enjoy even the 3 realms, of Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, you still won't cross the Jordan if you're not prepared.
You can settle down. I can settle down in any one of those places. But I've learned one thing. No matter what, time will march on until God gets what He's after. Amen? We may not like this kind of talk. But you know what? My messages aren't about emotionalism, making us feel happy. I'm all about declaring God's word and having Him fulfill it in our lives. It still is His way, His will, and what He's after. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand. You know the interesting thing about this? Can I say this? Gideon started with how many people? 32,000. And 22,000 all went home because why? It said they were afraid. What were they afraid of? Changing their position of where they were at that moment. They didn't want any testings, trials, or tribulations. So what did they do? They all went back home. The place of comfort where nobody bothered them. People told them how great they were. But even when Gideon took 10,000 down and to drink from the same Holy Ghost river, only 300 royals were already trained and knew what to do, like Joseph. God, without anyone giving him direction. Outside influence, because it all came from the realm of God's Spirit. This is the whole point of him asking, will you leave me also? And explaining what a disciple, student, child is. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, yes, Lord. He told me to remind you. You can go out and try to fulfill this in your own strength, but it cannot be done. It has to be exercised in the way of the Spirit. So take this word, God, and help us with it. That we may be moving forward with faith and determination, God. Not to settle on the past. What you've done. God, that we would move forward until Christ is fully formed in us. There must be a travail, a cry, a deep cry unto deep. That would draw us near to you, God, and never let you go. That would cause us to cleave to you, God, so that we would see you face to face. That you could fulfill all of your word, not only in us as individuals, but more importantly, as a corporate son, a man-child, a people of God, prophetic in its voice, victorious in its actions. That God, you would shine as the glorious one in the midst of us all. We love you, Jesus. We praise you and we worship you. And all the saints say, amen and amen.